KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, Corey Majors.
Confused.
And the famous Alec Medford. Here's the thing. 877-881-1053. There's been a lot of S-talkers this week. So let's really get some shout-out Friday action going. 877-881-1053 if you want to shout-out somebody. Maybe you want to shout-out yourself. For an incredible achievement, let us know. Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053 or the Twitch or the YouTube. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing?
I am currently replying back to somebody on the Twitch, and I think maybe the fan text. Because I called Garland, the land of Gar, if you will, Chain Snatch City. And I think they kind of got confused by one of the words being left off of that, if you will. And they're like, hold on, what did you call this city again? And so I'm just trying to explain. Now, that being said, I did live in Garland and had two cars stolen and my apartment broken into twice. Mm. So I will confirm that there have been robberies there. All right.
I mean,
my experience shows me that
I can also, my wife forwards me the crime report every week. So I can also confirm that there have been robberies in Garland.
The police are on their way, mofo.
Yeah, sometimes. Maybe. Yeah, sometimes. I do remember two girls showed up for, they were women police cops. All right. Women police cops, they were women, but they also wore uniforms that showed that they were police. They worked in the forensics department. All right. And they walked around my apartment, which was just in tatters. Mm-hmm. All right. And they dusted everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe this happened. And she looked at me and she goes, you do know where you live, right?
Oh, dang.
I was like, yeah, right behind On the Border in Garland. What are you talking about? She was like, I mean, you're in Garland.
Look, it's tough. I talked about the time I got arrested and they asked me what middle school I went to and I said Jackson, and one of the cops goes, huh, that figures. and I wanted to be like, listen here, but then I was like, you know what? He's got a good point.
How disheartening is it though, whenever as she's walking away, as the lady, the female cops are walking away with their forensic stuff, you're like, hey, do we just clean up this dust stuff? And she goes, yeah, we'll never find anything anyway. Like, that's,
oh man,
that's pretty disheartening. So
how long had this lady been cop? It sounds like she is already so beaten
down.
They
were my age. I was like 24, 22. Oh, so they were my age. It was weird. I was like, are y'all trainees and they just sent y'all out? They're hot though. Shout out to the hot cops.
See, were you just counting down until you figured he would say that? By the way, Corey from the 214, is that a new show, Women Police Cops? It's too many words in there. Like, I just
feel like there was a little redundancy with the police cops part too as well.
But I think you could do the teaser and you could be like, you know, cops. But what about
police cops,
women police cops? And then you have Corey saying that, and that, I think that would be tremendous. All
the
right,
spinoff,
right?
Yeah, the spinoff called Men Cops.
From the 817.
Their cousin Robert Cop.
Shout out. Good Lord, it's going to be a long day. Shout out to my guys, Garrett and Luke, who flew down from Utah for the weekend. We are going to get silly tonight. And from another 817, shout out to my son and the youth group at our church. About 20 of them just landed in Brazil this morning for a mission trip. Wow. Awesome.
Did you say a dude flew down from Utah?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Like, it's going to be a lot more fun.
So you're not impressed by the people who flew to Brazil for the mission trip, but the guy who flew down from Utah, you're like, wow, what an achievement.
So they're going from a cool place where you can have a party to an even cooler place where you can have a party. Those people are from Utah, where nothing happens.
Have you ever been to Utah?
To here. You ever been to Utah?
Yes, I have.
Did anything happen?
Not really.
See? So you're coming to here, so that's why I think that's cool. The people going to Brazil, congratulations, you're about to have more fun. Hopefully.
Interesting.
Hopefully you don't run into Vin Diesel in the streets. And he's like, this is Brazil. And everybody pulls their guns out and you're like, oh crap. That's what I remember from the movie. I just got an email. Better check it.
Alec, do you think you're going to be able to save the show today?
I don't know. I really don't.
talking about? Things are starting off fine. 877-881-1053. How are you doing?
From the 817, I went to Jackson Middle School also, so my parents moved us to Keller after in the eighth grade. From the 214, that Northwest in Centerville ain't no joke.
That's the spot. Corey. That's the spot.
He's not wrong
That's
about
exactly
that.
Where I was. Will,
as somebody who has lived in Garland for a lot of my life, I will...
There used to be a Mervyn's right around the corner.
I will concede that.
Not there anymore.
First, they took away my Mervyn's. And then,
they
all
took
right.
my clothes and my money.
Go ahead and give me cut number six. This is Cooper Flagg's first points as a Maverick, I'm assuming, on one of his first two shots.
And here's Flagg on the break, punching it home. Welcome to the league, Cooper Flagg.
Now, that was a fun dunk right there. He did have the other, I don't know, like 5 foot away tomahawk dunk that he attempted that just... It really didn't work at all, and Cooper Flagg himself said it was one of the worst games he played in his life.
Okay. Well, at least you started pro as a pro winning.
Yeah.
You that, won a game.
That's true.
He played a lot in this game, too. A lot
yeah,
more 32 than
32 minutes. I
You said 10?
I thought he was going to play 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
And, like, he did look really stiff out there at first, and then after he made that dunk, it did look like he was, like, you know, feeling it and back to himself, but then he kept missing a whole bunch of shots. And they said on the TV broadcast multiple times, and I was like, I just don't agree with that. They're like, he could get away with that at Duke, not in the NBA. And there was at least three different shots that I was like, that is literally the exact same move in defense that he saw in Duke, and usually he made that shot. So I'm not disputing that he's going to need to get better at shot creation, but there were a couple particular times I was like, that's not an NBA thing. He just missed the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had the exact same move that I saw him do at Duke 8 million times, and then he just missed the shot. But you mentioned something you saw, because the shooting was atrocious from him last night. But you did see other things, including in the final minute, the block combination and then the assist out for the three, that you're like, okay.
There was another one, and I don't know if it was a Nembhard shot that Flagg tipped in, that I just thought was beautiful, the way like he was just in the right spot.
Yes.
And a lot of times last night, it just seemed like he, because of the way he thinks, the way he sees the game, he's just in the right spot. And that's, Kevin, that's where I started getting excited, because I think Clay is going to hit that, knock down a shot. I think,
yeah,
you know, guys around him, I think PJ will knock down a shot that wide open. You know, I think these things are going to happen, but how does he fill in the spaces and the cracks whenever something's missing? He can be a good slasher. He's around the basket. There are a lot of he has a great skill set that I'm excited to see more of.
From the 903, I think you guys will like this. Shout out to me, because I'm finally going to be able to make an appearance for the G-Bag Nation at Pickler Universe. They're going to be off of Pickler Universe off of 35 in Carrollton. They're going to have free pizza there, Stella Artois samplings, free pickleball. It's going to be an extravaganza, so make your way back out there. I will admit, and you said this in the crosstalk, I did end up being more invested in this game than I thought. Like, I was there and ready to go for tip-off, and I could not tell you the last time I was there for tip-off of a Mavs Summer League game. And
Luka's rookie season, I sat down and watched that game.
And even then, we're talking about, what, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's been a long time. I was really excited. It was a fun experience. And, man, that place was pretty jam-packed.
Yeah, no, it was. And, I mean, knowing that Jason Kidd was there to watch his kids, you know, he's sitting there like, all right, what am I trying to get a look at? And I'm sorry, I know you wanted to talk a little more about Nembhard, but I was very impressed with him, too.
For sure.
And I'm glad that he showed up like that on night one, because, Kevin, this one was pitted as a Bronny versus Cooper Flagg.
Right.
ESPN was like, hey, we're going to sell this as this. And it felt like the pregame was an hour long for this thing. I know they had the home run show before it, but they were like, every few seconds they'd pan over to Cooper Flagg, just got off the bus. Y'all get ready. And I was like, I am ready. I don't know what you're talking about. Kevin's not ready. And so, like I said, lots of people showing up, lots of people with eyeballs on it, and Nembhard knows that's his moment to show off and get his name seen and heard.
You know what? And that's, man, that is a good description of it, because it's not like Cooper Flagg won't make the team.
Right.
You know, you're not like, oh, I don't know.
The number one overall pick.
It really hasn't been shooting well, but like, we can all
very much see a world in which Ryan Nemhard does not make this team.
Sure.
So Ryan Nemhard needs to show exactly what he showed yesterday. He was tremendous shooting. It felt like he was all over the court. Although, to be fair, I did feel like Miles Kelly was really, really well involved and functional in this offense. But for Nemhard, he needs to stack up good appearances, and I was glad that he did.
So I know we've had this agreement with some FC Dallas people. Did we also agree with him that if he had a good game, he'd have to do Tank Top Tuesday with? I can't remember how that went
down. He would give us a nonstop string of Canadian facts.
That's right. He'd come back on and give us more facts. So he's if he makes the team or has great games. I can't remember how it went.
Ooh, I think it's going to be makes the team.
All right. I'm totally in on it. Now I'm rooting for him to make the team even more.
And one of the things that is exciting about watching him play, especially if you didn't see him play in college. If you did, you're like, I got a good idea of what he can do. Is it's a player that it's not hard to see the disconnect of maybe why he didn't get drafted. If he was 3 inches taller, like, he would have been a no-brainer draft pick. And then you heard during the TV broadcast that supposedly the Mavericks tried to trade back into the second round to pick him up.
Really?
So, yeah, they were not able to pull that off.
So they like him.
Yes, but then they were able to pick him up anyway. But, like, sometimes I like players like that where you're like, okay, I know you weren't drafted for a reason. What is that reason? And you see him play and you're like, okay, I get it. Because he's maybe 6 foot tall. Maybe. But he has a skill set that you're thinking, he's just a little bit taller. I think this would be a no-brainer for the NBA. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he's able to create some space. I liked watching him yesterday. It was fun.
He's a good offensive player, and I think, Kevin, I don't know how much size, I don't know how much height's going to be a problem whenever a guy like Brandon Williams was running point and scoring points and also can distribute. If he can distribute, Jason Kidd might find a spot for him. And yeah, that's where I say, hey, being able to find ways to score, you're not maybe not a 25, 28 minute guy, but we're gonna find places for you. I think that he definitely could have a role on this team.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And I know Fred was kind of joking, kind of not, but you wonder with players like that, with the further emergence of Brandon Williams, if you've seen some of those, I know there are different positions, but you've seen those opportunities for Omax and Jaden Hardy just feeling like they're getting further and further away, and you kind of wonder, like, what is the future of those games?
Yeah, and
of those players.
And the future, Kevin, is clearly Cooper Flagg as part of a team. That's the thing that I think we're going to have to get over. Not us, but a lot of people who are casual about this. And that is, he is not legendary dude yet.
Sure.
He might be.
For sure.
He might not be. He might be a great number two player on a team.
Could be.
The best number two player on a team. But just kind of get into that mindset of watching this guy develop, watching him grow into the kind of player, and enjoying the fact that he can play defense at a certain level right now.
Yeah, and look, I think if the shooting, let's say yesterday, and he did not shoot well whatsoever, 5 for 21. But, like, stay with me for just 1 second. Let's say he shot 10 for 21 and 3 of 5 from 3. Does that actually mean anything going into the regular season? No, because the regular season doesn't start for, like, 3 months. But all of a sudden, now he'd have 23 points, and you'd feel good about his defense, his passes, and his rebounding, and everyone would be like, oh, my God, this kid's going to be the greatest player in the history of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, what I mean by that is he didn't shoot well, but you did see the other phases of his game that you feel good about. You talked about being in the right place at the right time, being good off the rim and getting the rebounds. We've talked about the passing. And then again, you go back to, I think it was about a minute ago, you get the block, facilitates the breakout, Cooper Flagg gets the ball, passes it back to Nemhard, bang, hits the shot, and you win the game.
And I know it was kind of like a pickup game most of the night. Like, you could watch most of those guys on that court, the ball, it was scramble time.
Yeah. Right?
Like, the ball's going everywhere and they're all scrambling. Nobody can really make a shot. But did you see how many people had to follow and gravitate towards Cooper Flagg when he had the ball in his hands?
Yeah.
Full court, he's running full speed. Two or three people feel like they have to go to him, and guess what? Wide open shooters. And so that's going to, I think because of who he is, the attention he's going to draw to, and he'll draw that attention in the NBA, but he is going to have to learn how to beat one-on-ones
sure.
to demand those double teams to create more space like that.
So I wanted to just read this really quick. I am biased about this particular player, I will very much admit. From the 406, flag will be Grant Hill, a very good player, but not a superstar. He's no Larry Bird. I disagree about the breakdown of Grant Hill. Grant Hill was 100% a superstar phenom in this league. And if you don't believe me,
injury.
Look at exactly. If, at the age of 28, maybe 29, he started hitting a lot of injuries. But you look at a five consecutive year span. He was second team all NBA four times and first team all NBA.
He's like Johan Santana.
Yeah, actually.
Really good
for
already.
That, yeah, for and that then, chunk of time.
And then it happened.
And he was co-rookie of the year along with our head coach. So you think about it. He was co-rookie of the year his first season. Then his next five seasons, he was always one of the top 10 players in the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's a superstar. Unfortunately, injuries derailed his career.
He played until he was 40, though.
He did.
Year 40, and he averaged 3.2 points per game.
And you know what? I just realized I left off one of the injury questions for the day for basketball.
Well,
so
guess what?
Maybe we'll figure out a spot to put that in, but Corey has demanded more Cooper Flag content.
So much flag.
And so we will try to abide by that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Juan Soto, FC Dallas, and Panini. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Drives this one out to center field. Canario chasing back. Looks up and it's out of here. He's got a second home run at PNC Park. Number 20 for Juan Soto.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. The Rangers are victorious. The Bats looked tremendous again. But right now it's time for Forgiveness Friday. And I said I want positivity today.
I like it.
And I do. But first, I think we need to deal with this.
What?
It is Forgiveness Friday, and this person has asked for forgiveness, or asked me for forgiveness. Let's see if I make it better or worse.
I think you're going to make it worse.
What?
I know you.
All right. Well, you know what? I will read the entire text.
Yeah, don't selectively edit it.
Okay, I won't. So, I talked about that person who texted in. That Grant Hill was very good and not a superstar, which I disagreed with. Here is the entire string of text. Flagged will be a Grant Hill. Very good player, but not a superstar. Oh, he's no Bird. His shot release is way too slow and easily strippable with the low start point. Duke creates good pro players. North Carolina makes NBA superstars. So obviously, it's North Carolina bias right there. And then they followed up. Was Grant Hill a superstar like Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, or Magic? That's my point.
You didn't say Michael Jordan. You just said Jordan.
Jordan.
You
good
are
point.
Selectively editing.
You're right.
Again.
Let me try again. Was Grant Hill a superstar like Bird, Jordan, Magic? Double question mark. That's my point. Thanks for selectively editing what I texted on air. Thought you guys were fair. New text. Obviously not exclamation point. All right. So the only superstars in the history of basketball were the top seven players of all time.
I mean, also don't forget Russell Westbrook was not a superstar, according to Mark Cuban.
True. And North Carolina makes superstars like Michael Jordan. And who else?
Jesse Holly.
That is actually a good answer. So if the only level you can get to be a superstar is Larry Bird, I concede. I agree. It is unlikely that Cooper Flagg will be as good as Larry Bird. Do you think he could be as good as Kyrie Irving? He went to Duke. He feels like a superstar. My point is, that's a whole lot of assumptions after watching one summer league game for somebody who should have just graduated high school and was the national player of the year. So that feels like a whole lot of assumptions because you watched a summer league game. And if you're going to get snarky, then maybe I'll snark back. Oh, follow up.
Oh, gosh.
Corey made it worse. Ugh. You should have seen how Kevin edited my headlines at the newspaper, especially that one. And then the follow-up. So you admit you screwed me over like Kevin, did you? There you go. Now
Kevin, here's something I know we were probably talking forgiveness here. But forgive me. When we were going through our all-time team for college basketball, I really thought Shane Battier would end up on a list for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. He wasn't the greatest player. But man, he was like...
He had that something. He was going to make sure they won in 2001.
Right? Wasn't he that guy that you were just like, I believe he can do it.
Yes. He didn't make my team. Not a superstar. All right. Forgiveness Friday, which I feel like we started like 5 minutes ago. That's on me. Does Juan Soto need to ask for forgiveness? He is very upset that he didn't make the All-Star game. And part of the reason is, I mean, I think it's a lot of money on the table, obviously, if I make it. And so he's upset because he didn't get his $120,000 bonus.
Is he upset or is he just like...
He seemed kind of upset.
I saw the video. He seemed like he was like...
but like, he's right.
He is right.
That is a lot of money.
For other people.
If you have a $765 million contract, of which you make $61 million this year, maybe it's
was the first ever millionaire.
I mean, maybe it's going to be okay.
I do. So he plays in New York.
That's true.
What are the taxes?
Things are more expensive.
Yeah, what are the taxes? So that $120,000 might be his, like, he's like, that's how I pay my taxes this year.
All right.
With that $120K.
I'm doing math again to determine what this would be for Alec. All right. Alec, this would be your bonus based on, I've guesstimated your salary. This would be like if you did not get a bonus for $59.
Huh.
Hey.
Can you imagine what card you could get with that $59?
That's true.
That's fair.
That is true.
Kind of want $59 now.
Speaking of cards.
With $10 more, you could get something worth $69.
Nice.
Speaking of cards.
The weekend, too.
This does... Does the select brand of basketball cards need to ask for forgiveness?
Oh, no. I've never... Is select okay?
No, I like select. It feels like this might have been on purpose. All right. So... There's a phrase on the Lakers jerseys that says, leave a legacy. All right?
Like Kobe.
Exactly. Yeah, that is, yes, correct. That is why it's on there. So there's a Bronny James card out there, and it's got a patch from the jersey. And so it's Bronny James, rookie card, and they just cut out the part, and it all fits right in the box. It's the entire word. And it's Bronny James, and right above it, it says leave. Somebody's doing a bit, right?
It's hilarious. Somebody definitely was cutting that up, and they were like, this is going to be so good.
So,
dude, the people that cut those up, have you ever seen them do this? Like the jerseys
and stuff? No, I've always wanted to.
Because I do wonder if they're just sitting there, snip, snip, or if they're sitting there and like they're really going, all right, I got to make this perfectly this size, and I want this part. Because it does seem like logo man patches are exactly.
For sure.
You know?
And yes, and that is done very intentionally. But this felt like it was also done intentionally. It did sell at a premium, though. Sold at $1,800 on eBay. And by the way, if you're not driving... And you need some fun for the day. Type in 1991 Fleer Bill Pecota.
This was funny, actually.
P-E-C-O-T-A. Look up his, maybe Pecota. Look up his 1991 Fleer baseball card and tell me that Fleer didn't do him wrong.
They're doing a bit.
With this baseball card. If you need another one. The 1999 Score Rich Gannon football card. Look at these cards. These card companies did not do right by these players. They went out of their way to embarrass them.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I laughed at it yesterday.
Speaking of embarrassing, I feel bad about this one, but we got to tell the truth. Do you think FC Dallas deserves forgiveness? I told you they were going into a string last month of three straight home games.
Where they had not been good?
Yes.
They were better on the road?
Significantly better on the road. They have continued their streak of not being good at home as they lost all three of those. They have had 10 home matches this year for MLS. How many of them do you think they have won?
Eight. Two.
One. They're 1-7 and
guys.
Two.
Let's fix this.
At home.
What do we need?
If we go win, loss, draw, I know sometimes they flip it around.
Do we need more talent? What are we looking at here? Yeah,
probably more talent. Right. Their offense is still at times, and this has been an argument for years, is tenuous at best. They have not won a home match since in the MLS since March 29th. They're 0-5-2, so that's 0 wins, 5 losses, 2 draws again. I know they flip that in soccer sometimes. In that stretch, does FC Dallas need to ask for forgiveness?
Yeah, they need to ask for it. I'm not granting it.
Okay.
Sorry. Y'all need to fix this right now, whatever it is, so that we can get some dubs up in here.
Yeah.
Nobody wants L's sitting on the side of their scores.
Well, one of the things that doesn't help is when one of your players gets a red card like 17 minutes into the match, like the
that
one
that definitely
I saw.
Doesn't help.
No.
Seen that happen before.
It really, really does.
I covered a team once that they got their best player got a red card 2 minutes in, and they were playing man down the entire. They won.
Oh,
it was insane, dude! I don't know. I was like, wow, that's impressive.
Now, I'm going to leave this to you guys because y'all are the food folks. All right, my palate is ridiculed consistently. Does Iga Swiatek, the 4-time French Open champion, elite tennis star, does she need to ask for forgiveness? So at Wimbledon, I believe they have the very famous strawberries and cream. She loves strawberries and pasta.
Dude, I've heard about this. This is a Serbian thing, isn't it?
Yeah, she's from Poland.
Okay.
And so she said it's a Polish staple.
Yeah, I've heard about this before.
What do you guys think about the idea of strawberries and pasta?
Pasta doesn't have to have garlic on it. They can have strawberries.
It's true.
Pasta, I feel like you can throw anything on pasta.
Oh, man. I had not thought about this. All right, I'm going to add something to
Does
that.
It have onions in it, too? No, it's just got a little feta. Some strawberry? Is it some strawberry sauce on top?
Yeah, it doesn't look like my favorite.
I'm in.
But okay.
This sounds awesome.
All right, bonus forgiveness. Do I need to ask for forgiveness? Because multiple people have brought up, was it me asking their player who had a birthday on Christmas about celebrating their birthday? Then they said they were Muslim, and that happened at the end of February, and I just pointed out they hadn't won.
Since
the
whole then?
Match since the end of March. They won one in that span. Do I need to ask forgiveness for throwing off the mojo in the clubhouse?
I think you might have.
Although we did get somebody their MLS debut last weekend, and maybe we'll do so again this weekend.
And didn't we get the manager a win?
Yes.
He got a win.
When we showed up there.
He was on with us. And as you pointed out, Bochy's record before he comes on with us is pretty great.
That's true.
Afterwards?
Don't ask. It doesn't go.
We don't have an answer yet. We have to go look up the research.
Well, I know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Does the NCAA need to ask for forgiveness? And I know it could be for a whole lot of things. Today, it's that they still said expanding the NCAA tournament to 72 or 76 teams is a viable idea. Why?
Why not?
Because I don't want to see more of these garbage play-in games.
So if it had started as 32 teams... It never was it 64?
Mm-hmm.
If it was never that.
I mean, it was 32 teams.
And then when it changed, were you excited about that? Or were you like...
It changed like when I was little. And so I didn't know anything about it then.
What do you think though? Like that expanded then.
All right. If you're going to go all the way then.
Oh, all the teams.
Okay. Then go up to 128.
I've said that every time.
Give every single team an extra game.
Yes. Yes. Even the junior colleges. Let's let a high school team that's really good in.
Look, I have definitely thought about, what is it? Is it the FA Cup that they do in England where they're like, hey, every team.
Yes.
You get to be in it. There have definitely been some times when it was like, coming up next, Duke against UTD. And I'm like, hell yeah, I would watch the hell out of that game.
Yeah, but I'm in.
I don't know how excited everyone else would be.
You don't need to worry about everybody else.
Okay.
You just need to worry about you. Will you be entertained?
Probably.
Dude, can you imagine the bracket and filling out that bracket? That's going to be a two-day event.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I got Richland pulling off the upset.
Yes.
And then Eastfield going to the third round.
There's like, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'm in. And I know there are a lot of people like, take this seriously, Corey. I've always been like, give more teams opportunity. I think the tournament could be even more fun and bigger. And even now you might have less people in the stands now because it's so diluted.
Sure.
And maybe the talent is diluted. And Duke having to play, number one Duke having to play UTD is a waste of their time. But it could still be fun.
Man, and it would be at the UTD gym. That would be freaking amazing. So like that's the thing. Expand it out to 128 or stop messing with
it.
All right? Do it, you cowards. By the way, from the 817, man, I'm so happy to hear you guys. I've been in Indiana on a work trip and was unable to listen for the last week. I missed you guys. We missed you too. Welcome back.
Kevin, I got a message. Corey, I'm happy to be getting back to my toloing as of today. My wife had brain surgery 2 weeks ago.
Oh my
God. I've been playing nurse while off work. She's doing good and things are getting back to normal. So tuned in and happy to be on board with you. Maybe we can get a shout out. Holding it down the Midwest branch, Jordan from Dayton, Ohio.
And, so, that right there is why I'm not sure.
Because of Ohio?
That's right. Because if you remember, the fraudster was from Ohio.
That's right. So were they from Dayton? It was a different Ohio.
It was from Columbus, I do believe.
Yeah, that's not very close to Dayton, I'm thinking.
People can move. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Would you be sad if the Rangers traded Adolis Garcia? Next on The Fan.
Here comes the 3-2. And that one is hit hard into right field, a base hit. Ward hits the bag at 30. He's being waved home. Adolis with a throw. Home play at the plate. He is out at home plate. What a throw by Adolis Garcia. Jonah was waiting to apply the tag to Taylor Ward.
Seriously, though, look up the 1999 Score Football Rich Gannon card. It's number 218. 1999 Score Football Rich Gannon. Why did they have to do that to him? That's the picture that they chose. Look it up. Give me your instant reactions. And in the meantime.
That's funny. You're still looking at this.
It is. That card is amazing because they're like, hey, do you want one of him throwing a pass? No. What if we had two guys sacking him and he's going, no, because he's about to be driven into the turf. And they're like, that's your car.
His helmet was getting dislodged.
Right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets.
I feel like you're going to get some pushback.
From who? Rich Gannon?
No.
Or on this Adolis question?
On the Adolis question.
So we have talked a lot about the concept of Adolis getting traded and how likely people think it is and everything like that. But what I want to know from people right here, right now, Rangers fans, would you be sad if Adolis Garcia got traded? Because sometimes I think Adolis falls into the maybe sort of the DAC category where there's way more people that speak out that don't like that player, even though I think it's closer to like maybe 60-40 people like him versus don't like him or 50-50 or something like that.
I feel he's more like Dez.
What do you think that breakdown was?
There are people that do hate him that just don't talk about it much, but people that love him that just love him. That's your Twitter silo is different than my Twitter silo.
And I feel like in the fan text, just a lot of people complain.
Oh yeah, people do because he strikes out, and you know he is kind of emotional. I don't want to call him a baby because.
Sure.
But he's emotional. He rides a roller coaster of emotion.
Yes.
I've gone back and forth. Here's where I've stood on this. You got lucky that you were able to get this type of player
for nothing.
You've been very lucky that you've gotten him.
Agreed.
And so that's where I fall into the, well, should I then treat it like a special thing? They treated Romo that way.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you got lucky that you that this dude actually turned out.
Yeah.
And he's like super cheap and all that stuff. And that's where I am with Adolis is like, he helped you win a championship. I think, Kevin, as much as I've tried to go, yeah, he is a valuable trade piece. Last night as I was watching him, I was going, oh, he's one of the core people on this team.
Yes.
And he is not he's something I want to build around, because if I took him away and added a bat, all I did was swap bats. That's where with him, I would be sad if he was traded.
What if it was, I definitely hear you on that. What if it was a bat that costs $1.5 million and gave you fairly equivalent production?
Who's the player?
Because
I don't have an emotional. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, my heart is with Adolis too. So I have the unfortunate problem of being heart and a little bit of money here.
And how much is it worth to you? I guess, because then maybe you could get other players. But to your point, from the 214, I would be very sad, but I understand. From the 682, very sad. From the 830, no, go ahead and trade him. From the 469, we can't trade him. We can't trade him. I would be so mad. And then this one's interesting. From the 972, I would be absolutely gutted if we traded Doley, but I trust in CY at this point so much that I would accept it fairly quickly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's wild, though. We were saying the same thing about Nico a while back.
True.
The last night was, I feel like, a perfect example of why I have to have Adolis around, though.
Yeah.
That throw that he made from right field, he is the prototype arm. Like, that is, you want your right fielder to be able to throw like him. And he loves the moment. He relishes. I got a shot to throw somebody out. Good luck. That was beautiful last night. And then the home run on top of it, but he was getting base hits. He looks like he's in a little bit of a groove again. And now he is a streaky guy. And I know that. I'm more than willing to bet on a hot streak whenever the playoffs come around, if they're there.
So I know I'm not usually like go with your heart guy, but I think we could all agree on this. Maybe I'm off, but he's definitely in that group of four that led the way for the World Series. Like him,
Seager,
Montgomery, and Evo.
Okay.
Like, I realized there was more to
Marcus
it.
Simeon.
Shut up.
You always have.
Shut up. But
because of the Christmas question, I get it. Yeah.
He thought that was hilarious. His exact quote was, so we're probably not getting him back on. But like, if you could identify your top four, Adolis is definitely in your top four. And so, like, that's one of the things that's still difficult. And I know people are going to be like, move on. You had 2024. Now you're at 2025. But sometimes we see the fan text.
Yeah,
it sways. So here we go. From the 214, keep Adolis at all costs. From the 817, I think Adolis is the heartbeat of the team. Him and Josh Smith, you cannot trade him. From the 214, you want to downgrade your outfield by trading Albombi for prospects that most of the time never pan out. And that's the tricky thing. I'm not necessarily saying for prospects. I wonder if you would just plug Osuna in there full time and then your prospects would come in at a different position, or maybe a younger reliever who has already done something at the big league level would be brought in. I'm not sure what that trade would look like, but I think the Rangers are also interested because of the monetary aspect of it.
Yeah, I feel like also there's this, you have to make a decision as the GM. It's very difficult to, and the best of them do it, to play the game where you're adding and subtracting all the time.
For sure.
And just kind of going, okay, all right. Because sometimes you get lost in whatever your vision was to create that. But if you're good at that and you're just playing stock market like that, you're in good on you. I would probably look at this and go, all right, I'm going to try and give this one more run with this core and add something to it. And then next year we might take a step back. Now, I don't know how much step back time you have with Ray Davis.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where that stands, or if you have much step back time with some of these other veterans. Like, it seems like you've built a team that you need to win a lot because you have so many veterans that are like, well, if we're not winning, do I really want to be here? And you want to keep that environment of winning going. So I'm going to say I'm going to run one more out there with you. And Adolis, I think you're the guy that can help lead the way for it. That's where I am emotionally and as far as team goes.
This is, I don't know how I expected it to play out, but there does not seem to be a whole lot of middle ground on this. There are people who are like, no, under no circumstances would you trade Adolis Garcia. There are other people on that same side that are like, here are all the things that he does well. And obviously, as you mentioned, tremendous arm and defensive ability out there. And then there are people on the other side who are like, no, I'm done with him. Or some even said, I'll always have 2023, but we need to move on. He doesn't bring it like he should for the team, everything like that. So I'm fascinated by like this really, there doesn't seem to be a lot of middle ground on this.
Yeah, it does feel like Dez in my mind.
I could see that.
Dez was also emotional.
I get more what you're saying.
A lot of people were split on him, you know, because people loved him. But then how often would the emotional part of it be the problem that people had with him? And then if he had a bad game, Dez was non-existent. How many 100-yard games does he have? He's barely, you know, he was always this. And you're like, but look at how many touchdowns the dude had in this game. Sure, he had 3 catches for 75 yards. He also had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, what is it that you want out of the guy? So that's where that is kind of that same way with Adolis for me. For me, I'm trying to keep him. I think he's a special, he has special player ability still left in him. But I understand the idea of people thinking this season's done.
Yep.
And trying to part this thing out now. I don't think Chris Young is there yet. I don't think he's convinced himself or that they have convinced him. They're about to play Houston.
Yes.
They just finished a series where they split with the Angels, and now they're about to play Houston. And don't you feel like, based off everything Chris Young has said, that this Houston series could decide a lot of things?
I do, but I keep thinking about what CY said. I think it was this past Monday with G-Bag when he talked about, and you look at players that might just not fit yep. with your philosophy going forward. I am not saying, I have no inside information that is 100% Adolis Garcia, but I keep wondering who those players might be, because Chris Young doesn't just randomly right. say stuff, except for Jacob deGrom was fine a couple years ago. He doesn't just randomly say stuff. He had a couple of people in mind. By the way, update. People have been looking at this Rich Gannon card, and I feel very seen. From the 469, I just saw that card. You're right. That is not cool. Somebody at Score was clearly cost a bet by Rich Gannon. From the 469, Score chose that card, and Rich Gannon chose violence going to the Super Bowl the next year. Oh, my gosh. That is messed up. From the 972, from the 214, LMAO. That is an amazing card. And then other people are now like, hold on, what was the other card? Bill Pecota, or Pecota, P-E-C-O-T-A. Look up his 1991 Fleer card where he's clearly missed the baseball. And that is the card that they chose for him.
That was a funny one, too.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Combo Platter 7-Eleven Day. Give us a sports opinion. And then, what is your number one go-to item in the 7-Eleven? And will you get a Slurpee today? Next on The Fan.